188 years ago this week, a small band of valiant men began a long struggle for freedom. They pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor, not only to found a nation, but to forge an ideal of freedom.
Too many guns on the street. We lose 93 million Americans a day to gun violence.
Greetings, white America. This is Tommy Freedom broadcasting to you loud and clear on the alt-right frontier from my log cabin in a secret mountaintop location somewhere in Appalachia. Every day, we battle the loony left.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
But still, we manage to persevere because the good guys always win, even in the 20s. Hey everybody, and welcome back to Freedom Rings. Got a lot of stuff to go over with you this week, and one of those things I want to go over here fairly early in the show, something that I had forgotten to, or didn't forget, but actually had no time and sort of forgot to speak to you about either last week or the week before, was dealing with NASCAR and the whole Confederate flag flap that's been going on with them. But I want to start this whole thing out. We had a magic holiday last week that I had never heard of before. It's called Juneteenth, and it is supposedly the anniversary of when some slaves in Texas found out that they were finally free. From here on out, I shall refer to it as Coonteenth. It's been nothing but a thorn in my side. Who had heard of this 2 weeks ago? Nobody had heard of Coonteenth 2 weeks ago. Except maybe if you lived in Texas. Then all of a sudden it came out because Donald Trump was going to hold his rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma on the anniversary of Coonteenth. So they were making this whole issue about it, this big row, complaining left and right, saying it was inappropriate and it was racist and this, that, and the other thing. So when did this actually start? Because as far as I know, prior to this year, Texas was the only one that was honoring this because it happened in Texas. It was a Texas holiday. And now all of a sudden it's gone nationwide. I know New York recognized it this year, and at least one other state did too, and they're talking about making it a state holiday in those states, and now they're trying to bring this up in Congress to make this a national holiday. Give me a break. They already have Black History Month. They don't need an Emancipation Day or a Black Independence Day, which I think is what they're actually going for on here. We're going to have Independence Day, and then they're going to have Black Independence Day, a.k.a. Coonteenth. Now, last Friday is when this was all of a sudden widely recognized, and I stopped into the bank to cash my paycheck about 1:30 in the afternoon. So, well, I'm on this part of my route. I'm literally a block away from the bank. I'll go ahead and stop in now while I'm this close. That way, it's the best use of my time. So, of course, the banks still aren't open, so I go to the drive-thru, and I get to the little vacuum tube thing, and there's a piece of paper on the outside. We will be closing early at 2 p.m. in honor of Coonteenth. What the beep? Now the banks are closing early to recognize this holiday, and I say that in air quotes, that nobody even knew existed 2 weeks prior. This is just stupid. These people, they want more and more and more all the time. They want this, they want that, they don't want this, they don't want that. And everybody is bending over backwards to accommodate them. So now they're treating this like an actual holiday. So Friday evening, off go the fireworks, just like the 4th of July, until about midnight. Everything was quiet for 10 minutes. And then gunfire erupted, and that lasted for about an hour. I guess they ran out of their fireworks and they were discharging firearms. I'd rather have the fireworks than the firearms, but for God's sake. And then it happened again on Saturday night. Not as bad, but it happened to a certain extent, the fireworks and then the gunshots. I just don't get it. So this is something that we're going to have to be diligent on. If there are petitions out there to make this a national holiday, we're going to have to get in touch with our representatives and our senators and let them know that we don't need another holiday, especially one like this that means absolutely nothing. So now let's get to NASCAR and the whole Confederate flag issue. First of all, NASCAR stands for National Stock Car Racing. Okay, it was founded here in the South, and it was actually founded by what we used to call rum runners, ridge runners. They would take their illegal liquor, and they had these cars that they would build up with heavy-duty springs and heavy-duty beefy motors to outrun the revenues during Prohibition. And a couple of them got together, and they just started racing to see who had the faster car. And it slowly evolved into dirt track racing around an oval dirt track, and it expanded from there. And finally, NASCAR was founded from this. So it started out with a shaky past, just to begin with, okay? But like I said, it started here in the South, and it was essentially a bunch of rednecks that were just getting together to see who had the fastest car and who was the fastest driver and who could finish the race first, which is where all of this bumping and stuff came into in racing. And the very last cheater, Dale Earnhardt, was the one that was still known for doing that until he bumped the wrong person, hit the wall, and broke his neck. As far as I know, he's the last person to race that way. But he was still racing in that, what they call old school racing that I call cheating, running somebody off the road and trying to kill them so that you can beat them in a race, much like the opening scene in the movie The Wraith from 1986. So NASCAR, as I said, is a sport of the South. It was founded by rednecks. And the symbol of rednecks, I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. I didn't mean it as an apology. Down here in the South, the rednecks love the Confederate flag. And the Confederate flag, the quote-unquote Confederate flag, is not the Confederate battle flag. The Confederate battle flag was square with gold fringe on it. What everyone calls the Confederate battle flag or the Confederate flag or the rebel flag was actually the naval jacket. Flew on ships at sea. It was never involved in skirmishes on land. But that's just something that we have taken as part of our heritage and our culture. I know some of you are thinking, Tommy, weren't you born in Connecticut? Well, yes, I was. But I had the privilege to move here when I was 14 years old or 15 years old. I think I turned 15 on the move down here. And I graduated high school here, and South is in my blood. Obviously, when you look at the whole history of the Civil War and how it started and who really started it and why, you have no choice but to sympathize with the Confederate states who were being invaded by the aggressive North. So getting back to the topic here, when NASCAR first started out, it was a redneck sport, and it could not get much advertising. So a lot of the cigarette companies sponsored racing, just like they did when they started racing boats. I'm sure you've heard the term cigarette boat, okay? Those long, really fast boats like you used to see on Miami Vice. They weren't called cigarette boats because they transported cigarettes or smuggled cigarettes. They were called cigarette boats because the cigarette companies sponsored them in their races, much like early NASCAR. The cars were sponsored by cigarettes. They were sponsored by alcohol. Actually, they were sponsored by alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. Well, I don't think any firearms were involved, but you get the point. Because nobody else mainstream wanted to advertise. So the companies, the Vices, advertised with NASCAR. Put their names on the side of their cars, sponsored the races. The whole Winston Cup, the Winston Cup series. It used to be the Winston 500, now it's the Coca-Cola 500. But they were all sponsored by tobacco, okay? It was the sport of the South, and the Confederate flag is the flag of the South. If you're offended by that, go watch something else. Now, first of all, you got rid of the tobacco sponsoring. That wasn't too bad. You got somebody else to fill in with that. But now you're alienating the fan base. And I say fan base. I'm not talking about all of the fans because, yes, I realize this is spread across the country, but your fan base is still here in the South. Charlotte is known as the home of NASCAR. The NASCAR Hall of Fame is here. That's why it's here. And then to remove that flag from Charlotte Motor Speedway was just, in my opinion, an egregious error on the part of NASCAR, because they're going to turn a lot of their diehard fans away. Kiss them goodbye. And slowly you're going to realize that you're losing your fan base, just like the NFL is going, to lose its fan base. And I'll explain that later on in the show as well. But this whole push to get rid of the Confederate flag was done by NASCAR's only black driver, Bubba Wallace. Okay? This is a white sport, Bubba. You don't belong here, number one. Number two, if you're going to come into this sport and start making waves, obviously there's going to be trouble. You want to adjust the entire sport to suit your needs and your tastes? No, that's not how it works. So somebody sent him a message. They put a noose in his car stall the other day. People are tired of this PC crap. Now, eventually it's going to come out who did it. No fans were allowed in the infield for that particular race. So it was somebody within NASCAR from another team, I'm sure. But people have had enough of this politically correct crap. They sent him a message. Will he take it? No. Eventually, as things come about and they start to lose more and more fans, they're not going to lose their sponsors over this, but they're going to lose their fans. And it doesn't matter if you got sponsors. If you don't have any fans buying those tickets or watching those races, you're going to lose money. And they're going to realize it too late. Oh my God, what have I done? Well, hey, you should have listened to what your fans told you ahead of time. Don't mess with the South. We've still got issues going on, tearing down statues and all the riots and everything across the country. But last Friday night, on Juneteenth, two statues were torn down in Raleigh, which is the capital of this great state I live in, North Carolina. You had a bunch of protesters out there that decided to rally around the statue, and from what I see, most of these are actually white. I think the initial stuff was done by blacks, but then you have all these millennials with all this white guilt that are now joining in on this and doing this, and it is really sad, because when it hits the fan, they're going to be taken out along with everyone else. They are traitors to their race, and they will be dealt with harshly. But they tore down two statues in Raleigh that were actually on the grounds of the state capitol, which is a protected area that I will explain a little bit later on. And initially, several police officers showed up to get them to stop, and they were attacked. And four of these police officers were injured in the skirmish. And then suddenly, they were ordered to stand down. Capitol Police was ordered to stand down. Highway Patrol was ordered to stand down. Raleigh Police were ordered to stand down. And we have no idea who did it. The governor claims it wasn't him. His right-hand man is a sack of crap that probably did, but he's not taking responsibility for it. They tore these two statues down. They defaced them, spray-painted them with graffiti, dragged one down the street several blocks, and then the other one. They hung an effigy. They put a rope around its neck, yanked it off the ground, and strung it up from a lamppost. In other words, they lynched this statue. Whoa. That is serious. And I'm going to, well, let me just jump ahead, go through my notes here. Let's just say, because you have so many statues this has been going on with. Let me just keep my notes in order here. I want to tell you that I think white people have been incredibly patient through all of this. They've been more than patient. We're not biting our tongues. We're standing on them. We're doing the best that we can to hold our temper. But this isn't ending. Now, here in North Carolina, they're blaming the Republicans and our former governor, Pat McCrory, who only served one term before being replaced by our current governor, Roy Cooper, because he made some serious mistakes. And he and I don't like each other. I'll just say that. But the one good thing that he did while he was in office was to get legislation passed that protects monuments. And this was well in advance of the hoopla going across the country after Dylann Roof shot up the black church where all the Confederate monuments were being torn down and that sort of thing last time. This was in the works ahead of time. And ironically, Josh Stein, our current, Attorney General, voted for this when he was in office. It was unanimous in the Senate of North Carolina, and it passed the House as well to protect these monuments. So now they're blaming Pat McCrory for this, saying it's his fault because these monuments are protected. If they hadn't been protected, they would have been taken down long ago and they wouldn't be defaced. Well, this is going on in other cities and other states as well. This law doesn't exist in Oregon, Washington State, Minneapolis, or any of the other cities where this is happening as well. And now, have you heard about this, folks? They tore down a statue of Francis Scott Key in San Francisco. Francis Scott Key wrote the national anthem, the Star Spangled Banner. Statues of Christopher Columbus, George Washington, Theodore Roosevelt, Thomas Jefferson, and now Francis Scott Key are being torn down? It's going too far. This cannot be tolerated too much longer before we take our feet off of our tongues, start speaking out, and start doing something about it. This has to be stopped now. This cannot continue. This is destroying our past, our history. They're trying to erase our history and rewrite it. We've seen this before in Russia, the Russian Revolution, the Bolshevik Revolution. We've seen this in Italy, other places across Europe, where they try and erase the history, and then they replace it with fascism. Antifa are the fascists, not us. If they would look at history, they would realize that they are the people that they detest. But all these statues they're tearing down are statues of white men. Now, let's look at this in reverse. What if a bunch of boogaloos tore down a Martin Luther King statue? Ooh, there would be hell to pay. Oh, but what if then they put a rope around its neck and hung it from a lamppost? What do you think the backlash would be? You wouldn't begin to believe the riots and the violence and the damage and the fires and the explosions that would be going on around this country. That's why I'm saying we've been very patient. But our patience is about to end. Since this has started, over 800 police officers have been injured. Several are now dead. And one is on life support for the rest of his life because he's paralyzed from the neck down. All because of these scumbag millennials and these scumbag Antifa that are stirring the pot and trying to cause trouble to divide this country. And if this doesn't end soon, we're going to find ourselves in some sort of an uprising, folks. There's no getting around it. Now, will it be actual skirmishes with gunfire or an all-out war? In all likelihood, it's probably going to end up like it was in Ireland, with bombs and drive-by shootings and attacks on groups of people here and there. It won't be a formal declaration of war where you're going to actually have, like, say, Black Lives Matter meeting the Ku Klux Klan and a big gunfight. It's not going to be like that, at least not at first. What you're going to have is terrorism, just like we had in Ireland. That lasted for 70 years. This country can't maintain that. At some point, we will have an all-out civil war, and it will also probably be an all-out race war. And if that does start, all bets will be off. And you know what? These people have no one to blame but themselves. They're the one that started this crap. And we're going to end it.
It's Tommy Freedom.
Like I said at the beginning of the show, I've got a lot of stuff to go over this week. I've got a few more items, and I can tell you right now, I'm right about at 20 minutes. This is going to be over 30 minutes. I'm not sure where it's going to end. I typically try and keep these at 30. Sometimes they'll go to an hour or split it at 45. Wherever this one ends, it's going to end up just on its own. Since we're not doing these live anymore, these can kind of end wherever they want because they're just being posted directly to the archives. So the next thing I want to get into is dealing with Chick-fil-A. Now, several years ago, there was an incident with Chick-fil-A. They were coming under fire because they were a Christian-owned company, and people were really just treating them very badly and calling them all kinds of names. So I specifically made an effort to eat at Chick-fil-A for several weeks to bolster their revenue and show support for their Christian values. Well, I noticed some time ago that Chick-fil-A has changed from what it used to be. The reason I started going to Chick-fil-A mostly when I first moved here was that, like everyone else, they had to hire minorities. But what they did was they hired people with Down syndrome. So you would walk into a Chick-fil-A restaurant and it was entirely staffed by white people with Down syndrome to meet the minority requirements. They had women in there and they had those with Down syndrome to skirt the law. Well, the original founder, S. Truett Cathy, I guess is his real name. He went by Truett Cathy. When his son took this over, I don't know if it was after his death or before, his son took it over and all of a sudden you started seeing blacks and Mexicans working at Chick-fil-A. That was the first thing. Well, now, Dan Cathy, who is the current CEO of Chick-fil-A, says that white people should shine black people's shoes so that they understand what it's like and they can have empathy to know. Now, I've got an article here that I unfortunately didn't pull up in time. So, actually, it's still here. Apparently, he was having a roundtable meeting, and this was all being televised. And he had, there's a Christian rapper, I don't know if he's white or not, by the name of Lecrae. So while he's discussing this whole topic of repentance, Dan Cathy got up and shined Lecrae's shoes on stage and said that the world needs to have a sense of shame, embarrassment, and an apologetic heart. Our silence is so huge in this time, he continued. We cannot be silent. Somebody has to fight. What? And like I said, he went on to continue this nonsense, saying that at some point, everyone should shine a black person's shoes. And I couldn't find the audio for this. I heard it on the radio the other day, and it was absolutely disgusting what he was doing, the way he was groveling. You know, I actually called Chick-fil-A and managed to get through to someone, amazingly, spoke to a white woman, and explained my grievances, and she took my number in case somebody wanted to call me back. Did I mind? I said, hell no. So they took my number, and I'll let you know if anyone calls me. They probably won't, but in the event they do, I will share with you what happens. But this is just disgusting, the groveling, that we're going to get down and shine some black guy's shoes. Dan, I'm not shining anyone's shoes, but I'll tell you what, pal, you can shine my ass with your lips. I'm not patronizing Chick-fil-A anymore. Ever. Until you apologize to me. Now let's get into this whole kneeling with the flag crap, because it's coming back. Colin Kaepernick is back. He got hired on by some other team, and he's kneeling again. And he's running his lips about this, how he's going to continue to protest and kneel and defy the national anthem. And now, several coaches have even said that they're going to kneel alongside the players. Again, this is going too far. Now, let me explain to you why this is going to come back and bite them in the ass. First of all, I despise sports. Well, now especially because it's mostly full of nothing but Negroes. But I never liked sports. I never understood running around and playing. You're grown men, for Christ's sake. Read a book, watch TV, get a job, do something. But there are people who just absolutely love sports, men and women alike. And it gets them away from the hubbub and the hubbubaloo and everything that's going on during the week. They're working. They're listening to this political garbage. So they come home. They turn on the TV on Saturday or on Sunday. They pop a beer. They want to watch a game, whether it's football, basketball, baseball, soccer, whatever. They want to do this because they want to relax and unwind. And they do this to get away from all the crap that they've dealt with all week long. the last thing that they want to see is the same political garbage that they've been dealing with all week at work and on TV and on the radio. It's being forced down their throats, and this is the one time they want to avoid it, and there it is. Somebody defying this nation by kneeling with their head bowed during our national anthem. So this may actually be the final nail in the coffin for the Negro Football League. People have pulled some sponsorship. They lost a lot of fans the last time this happened. But now, maybe they'll finally get the message when they, like NASCAR, no longer have any fans to watch their nonsense. One more thing, going back to Coonteenth here. We had a big shooting here in Charlotte the other night. And it started out with a Coonteenth block party that started on Friday night. And it lasted all the way into Monday morning until the shooting started. Now, sometime in the middle of the night, early Monday morning before it got light, someone was hit by a car. So Medic and CMPD arrived. And CMPD is Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department. We merged our police departments about 25 years ago. So they arrived, and then all of a sudden someone started shooting. And in all this shooting, over 200 rounds were fired. Two people were killed and over a dozen were injured, and several of those who were injured were hit by cars and run over while they were trying to run away from the shooting. So I'm wondering, was this an attack on first responders? Because the shooting didn't start until the first responders showed up. So were they waiting on cops and medic to start shooting at them? Or was this maybe some kind of a retaliation by the white or by the far right? I don't know. I would think that with all that shooting and hitting all those people, that they would have hit at least one cop or medic if this was an attack on first responders. But either way, why were so many people gathering in a public place in the first place, going against our governor's orders? This block party started on Friday night and lasted until Monday morning. Hundreds of people were there, getting together, shooting off fireworks, consuming alcohol. Why were they there in defiance of the governor's orders? When you and I can't go to the grocery store or have a party or go to a bar because the bars and the gyms still aren't open here? Because it doesn't apply to them. Applies to you and me. But day be zempt. Producer George has just pointed at the clock and brought up a good point. Everything else up to this point has taken a little bit longer than I initially thought it would when I started out the show. So I'm actually at a point right now to end the show on a normal time slot. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to hold off on the last part until next week. And this is a copy of the Antifa manual that apparently was dropped in Eugene, Oregon during a protest on May 29th. And that was sent to me courtesy of listener Mike up in New York. So I thank him for that. So I'm going to cover more detail on that next week than I think that I would have done had I tried to do it today. I'll start the show with that, devote the first part of the show to that, and kind of analyze this stuff and run down on it, kind of like the 10 precepts for the New World Order with the Georgia Guidestones. I'll go over with all the nonsense that's in this manual, and folks, you will not believe the garbage and the nonsense that's in this manual. You might, but still some of it may take you by surprise. It took me by surprise in the absurdity of their goals when it comes down to their end game. So on that note, I'm going to go ahead and shut down here for today. As always, if you want to get in touch with me, you may do so by emailing me at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. If there's something that you find that you want me to cover on the show, any questions you have, that's what it's there for. That is why Mike sent me the manual, because I gave out my address and he wanted this information to get out there, and it's something that I hadn't come upon myself. And folks, it's you, the listeners, that are actually sources for this show. If you find something that you think is really cool or really disgusting and needs to get out there, let me know so I can share it with the rest of our brothers and sisters. So until next week, my friends, this has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Until then, please stay aware, because it's getting really bad out there. So stay aware of your surroundings. Stay out of jail. By all means, stay tuned, because I'll be back next week. Out for now.